بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, companions, and all those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Last week, or previously, we covered an introduction to this book, Al-Usul al-Sitta, by the Imam al-Mujaddid, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. After that, we went through the first principle. Last week, we did the second principle. And now, alhamdulillah, we're on the third principle. And the third principle is regarding al-Sam' wa-Ta'a, i.e., hearing and obeying hearing and obeying those people of authority. Have you got Arabic numan? Al-Asl al-Thalith.
Adna min tamam al-ijtima'i as-sam'u wa ta'a liman
ta'ammara liman ta'ammara alayna
liman ta'ammara alayna wa law kana abdan habashiyan فبين الله هذا بيانا شافئا كافيا بوجوه من انواع البيان شرعا وقدرا ثم صار هذا الاصل لا يعرف عند الاكثر ممن يدعي العلم فكيف عمل به
ممن يدعي العمل وكيف العمل به
كيف
عثمان read the Arabic as well, it's good practice.
أن من تمام الاجتماع السمع والطاعة لمن تأمر علينا ولو كان عبدا حبشيا تبين الله هذا بيانا شافيا كافيا بوجوه من أنواع البيان شرعا وقدرا ثم سار هذا الأصل أصل
لا يعرف عند
أكثر ممن يدعي
Does anybody else want to read the Arabic? Adnan, can you read the Arabic? Okay. Read the English then. Yallah.
From the perfection and completion of unity is hearing and obeying the one who has authority over us, even if he is an Abyssinian slave. Allah explained this in a very clear, manifest, and sufficient manner, using various means, religious as well as universal. Despite this, the principle became unknown amongst the people of their knowledge. How could it be applied and
So, as I mentioned, this third principle, Al-Asl al-Thalith, is regarding As-Sam' wa-Ta'a, regarding hearing and obeying, i.e. listening and obeying to those people who have authority over the affairs of the Muslims, i.e. the Muslim rulers. And this Asl, this principle, is from the important principles of our religion, which has been mentioned in the Qur'an and has many evidences, has been mentioned in many, many ahadith, authentic ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are mutawatira, meaning many, many narrations. And also this principle, as-sam' wa ta'a, if you look into the books of aqidah of the Salaf, like the book of Imam al-Barbahari, Sharh al-Sunnah, and Imam Ahmad, and other than them, you find this principle being mentioned, as-sam' wa ta'a. And this principle, as-sam' wa ta'a, With the Salaf, i.e. the scholars of the previous generation, the great Imams, this was considered to be an issue of Aqidah. And therefore the person who went against this Asl, they would say that this person has gone against the Asl, the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And this principle, As-Sam' wa Ta'a, to hear and to obey, it has a relationship, a direct relationship with the two previous principles. First of all, can somebody remember the first principle that we studied? What is Al-Asl Al-Awwal? Al-Ikhlas Lillah. And the second principle? What's the second principle? No. Al-Ijtima'. So the first principle is Al-Ikhlas, sincerity. And the second principle is Al-Ijtima', unity. And then finally we come to As-Sam' wa Ta'a. As I mentioned, there's a direct relationship between all these three principles. And that is that people, for the people to have ikhlas, to make their actions sincerely for the sake of Allah, to worship Allah upon sincerity, to make everything sincere for the sake of Allah, and for them to establish their religion and establish their worship, then this cannot be done, or it cannot be perfected, except if the Muslims are united, except with the second principle, al-ijtima. So if, for example, you find the believers and they are differing amongst each other, and there's discord amongst all of the believers, and they're hating each other, and they're oppressing each other, then this oppression and this discord and this animosity and this differing, it preoccupies their hearts and it preoccupies their minds and their actions, such that it makes their worship of Allah and their sincerity in Allah deficient. And so this is a relationship between the first principle and the second principle. The relationship between the sincerity in religion, making everything and all of your acts of worship sincerely for the sake of Allah, and busying yourself with worshipping Allah, and the second principle, which is being united. As I mentioned, when the believers are united, then the people are able to be sincere for the sake of Allah. When the believers are united, then people are able and become occupied with worshipping Allah. But when the believers, the Muslim brothers and sisters, when they're fighting each other, hating each other, there's discord amongst each other, this then brings about hawa, desires, and people start pressing each other. And this preoccupies their hearts from al-ikhlas, or ikhlas al-amal lillah, making their actions sincerely for the sake of Allah. And then the relationship between the second principle and the third principle is that there cannot be unity amongst the Muslims without a person that they are united behind. So how can the Muslims be united? How can a society be united if there's no imam, if there's no head behind whom they are united, or with whom they are united? And therefore, from the perfection and the completion of being united and having al-ijtima' fi al-deen is having rulers, or having a ruler who unites your word, and he unites your rank and your roles. And there can be no leader, or there's no purpose behind having a leader, if we don't have a sam' wa ta'a. If this leader isn't going to be listened to and he's not going to be obeyed, then there's no point behind having this leader. So when a sam' wa ta'a is lost, then the power and the authority of the leader is lost. When the power and the authority of the leader is lost, then the power and authority of the Muslims is lost. And when the authority and the power of the Muslims is lost, then they become disunited. When they become disunited, then they begin to hate each other, fight each other, there's discord amongst each other. And when this happens, then al-ikhlas goes, and worship is lost, and people are preoccupied with their desires instead of worshipping Allah Jalla fil Ula. So these three principles, they are connected. There's a direct relationship. Al-ikhlasu lillah, sincerity for the sake of Allah. Al-ijtima'a fi al-deen, being united upon the religion of Allah. And then as-sam' wa ta'a. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned these principles as the Imam mentioned. Or it's more correct to say that from the fiqh of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, is that he mentioned these three principles together in accordance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning the same very three things in one single hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يغل قلب المؤمن, that the heart of a believer, ثلاثٌ لا يغل عليهن قلب المؤمن. Three matters, or three characteristics, that the heart of a believer, if he has within them, he will not find a ghil, hostility or hatred or restriction in his heart. So three things or three matters. If a person has these in him and fulfills these characteristics, he will not find a ghil in his heart, i.e. hostility and hatred and discord and this feeling of restriction in his heart. The first matter, he said, ikhlasul amali lillah, sincerity in action for the sake of Allah. Sincerity in action for the sake of Allah. And then the second matter, he said, luzum al-jama'ah, staying with the congregation. staying with the main body of the Muslims, being united with the main body of the Muslims. And then finally, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَنَسِيحَةُ وَلِيِّ الْأَمْرِ, and giving sincere advice to the Wali al-Amr, i.e. the person who has authority over your affair, i.e. the ruler of the Muslim ruler of the Muslim country. ثلاثٌ لا يغل عليهن قلب المؤمن. And the scholars have explained this hadith, and they have said that the meaning of this hadith is, if a person therefore fulfills these three matters, then he won't find in his heart any room for hostility or for restriction in his heart. So if a person makes all of his actions sincerely for the sake of Allah, every statement that he makes is done with al-ikhlas, every action that he performs is done with al-ikhlas, sincerity. When he replies to somebody or interacts with people, it's done with sincerity. So before you're about to do an action, or before you're about to give advice, or before you're about to make a statement, you stop and you think that this statement that I'm going to say, or this action that I'm going to make, is it going to please Allah or is it going to anger Allah? If it's going to please Allah, then you say that statement or you perform that action. And if it's not going to please Allah, then you leave it off. So if this person has this intention in his heart, and he finds this in his heart, and all of his actions are for the sake of Allah and sincerity to him, then where is there space for hostility in his heart, or ghil, for this hatred and hostility and jealousy to enter into his heart? And if you find a person and he is enthusiastic or focused on uniting the people and keeping the people together and making sure that disunity and hatred doesn't come amongst the people, and trying to preserve the unity of the people, if there's any problems, he tries to advise and rectify the problems of the people and make them united. Again, this person, because of this goodness that he has for all of the Muslims and the congregation, and not wanting discord amongst the people, you won't find in his heart any discord or any hostility or any type of hatred or jealousy for the people. And similarly, a person who sincerely advises the rulers, and he listens to them, and he obeys them, and he doesn't go against them, he doesn't speak out against them, and he doesn't cause the people to hate them and come out against them, similarly, this person you'll find with him goodness, because he knows that the goodness and the rectification of the imam, of the leader, will filter down to the goodness and the rectification of the people. And if the authority is strong, then the people, they remain united. And for this reason, Imam al-Barbahari rahimullah, in Sharh al-Sunnah, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلَ, if you see a man, يَدْعُو للسلطان, and he supplicates for the Muslim ruler, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ, then you should know that this person is from Ahl Sunnah. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ رَجُلًا يَدْعُو عَلَى السُلْطَانِ, and if you see a person and he's supplicating against the ruler, i.e. against the Muslim ruler, then know, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ, then know that he is a person from the people of innovation. So Ahl Sunnah, the people of Sunnah, from the Salaf and the great Imams, and before them the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the many ahadith he has mentioned that we will study in a short while, we find in them that they used to make this a differentiation between Ahl Sunnah and Ahl al-Bid'ah. That they used to find people making dua for the ruler. You have a Muslim ruler and he has some oppression with him, or he has some faults with him, he oppresses the people, he is corrupt, he has some corruption. They used to make dua for the ruler that Allah rectifies him, and that Allah gives him the guidance to establish the religion of Allah, and so on and so forth. And therefore they used to hold this person to be from Ahl Sunnah. And if they found another person standing on the minbar in his speech and he talks and he's speaking against this ruler and that ruler and he's inciting the people with emotions, then they should consider this person to be from Ahlul Bid'ah. And for this reason, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimullah, he said, لَوْ كَانَ لِي دُعَاءٌ مُسْتَجَابٌ, if I had one single supplication which would be answered, لَجَعَلْتُهُ لِلْإِمَامِ, I would have made it for the Imam, the ruler of the Muslims. If I had only one single supplication that was going to be answered, then I would make it for the imam, not against the imam. Because he knew that if the imam becomes rectified through his supplication, then there's goodness and there's strength and there's unity amongst the Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu in Al-Hakim, he mentioned as-sam' wa ta'a to be from the obligations of al-Islam. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "U'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord, wa sallu salawatikum, and fulfill or perform your prayers, wasumu shahrakum, and fast your month, either month of Ramadan, wa addu zakat amwalikum, and pay the zakat upon your wealth, wa ati'u dha amrikum, and show obedience to the person who is authority over your affair, tadkhulu jannata rabbikum, and you will enter into the jannah of your Lord." So we see in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made this asal, this principle, from the obligations of the religion, and he mentioned it with the prayer and az-zakah and as-sawm and generally in worship. And the author rahimahullah, he said, "Inna min tamam al-ijtima' as-sam' wat-ta'a," that from the perfection of al-ijtima', from the perfection and the completion of unity, is as-sam' wat-ta'a. And this goes back to what I said, that in reality there can be no unity of the Muslims if there isn't a strong ruler, and the ruler will have no strength if there is no as-sam' wa ta'a. If the people do not show obedience to the person in authority, then he will have no authority. And if he has no authority, then there will be no al-ijtima'. So this is the meaning of the saying of the Imam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, "Inna min tamam al-ijtima' as-sam' wa ta'a." From the completion and perfection of unity is as-sam' and at-ta'a. And without authority, you will see how the affairs of the Muslims are disorganized, and there is no peace amongst the Muslims. And this is something that we can see, and we realize this even in our own society, in the place that we live in. That look, for example, in our locality. Because we don't have one single united body, and we don't have a single ruler who is amongst the Muslims, even in this locality, who is listened to and obeyed and his rules are implemented. Because of this, you see the Muslims, when it comes to Ramadan, each masjid does their own Ramadan. When it comes to Eid, each masjid does their own Eid. And there's no unity. And even when it comes to, for example, the Jum'ah, even when it comes to, for example, the other acts of worship, when it comes to Zakah, for example, there's nobody in our locality who collects the Zakah and is responsible with making sure the Zakah goes to the right places amongst our locality. And why is this? Because firstly, there is no congregation, there is no unity amongst the Muslims, even in our own locality. And this is because we do not have a single united ruler. So just in our own locality, we can see how the absence of a sam' wa ta'a and the absence of a ruler leads to the Muslims becoming disunited, even in the affairs where they should be united. And also, regarding the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which he said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كَانَ فِي لَا يَغِلُّ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلْبُ مُؤْمِنٍ, the three matters, a believer, if he has them, he does not find discord in his heart. And he mentioned al-ikhlas, sincerity, and luzum al-jama'a, congregation, being united, and then being behind a single imam. They find even in our own masajid. Think back to a masjid where there was disunity and discord, and the people weren't united, and the people weren't congregated with each other. And this one doesn't like this one, that one is talking about this one. This is the general environment or the darkness that you find the masjid in. Then you yourself will see, and the brothers are witness to this, that you don't want to come to that masjid. And when you come to that masjid, then you don't feel comfortable in that masjid. And your actions that you perform, they're not sincere for the sake of Allah. If you give salam to this brother or this person, that one starts speaking, that he's with him. If you go give salam to that one, then this one speaks that you're with him. So you can see how the Muslims being congregated even within a masjid and being united, wanting goodness for each other, behind a strong imam, these two unity. Imagine a masjid wherein you hate the imam and you have feelings in your heart against the imam, and seeing the imam, he hates the congregation. You won't be able to pray behind that person. And when you pray, you won't find tranquility and you won't find the sincerity in your heart. So this is how the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ لَا يَغِلُّ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, can be implemented even within our localities, even within our very own masjid. The Prophet sallallahu the Imam rahimullah, he said, إِنَّ مِنْ تَمَامِ الْإِجْتِمَاعِ السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةِ لِمَنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْنَا وَلَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا. That from the perfection and completion of unity is السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةِ, hearing and obeying for the person who has authority over us, even if he is Abd Habashi, even if he is an Abyssinian slave. And what's apparent is Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he took this wording directly from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiyallahu anhu, in Abu Dawud and other books of hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عليكم, he said, أوصيكم بتقوى الله. I advise you, I counsel you with the taqwa of Allah. There's a famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered the farewell pilgrimage, and then the companion said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, كأنها موعظة مودع. It is as if you are giving an address or a sermon for somebody who is leaving us. I, somebody who is going to pass away. فَأُوْسْ فَأُوْسِنَا, so advisors. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and he said, أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, I advise you with the taqwa of Allah. And then he said, وَالسَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ, and hearing and obeying, لِمَنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ, for the one who has authority over you, وَإِنْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا, even if he is an Abyssinian slave. So this wording that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, then what's apparent that he has taken this from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the meaning here, why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention Abd Habashi, an Abyssinian slave? Is because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or just before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and the norm and the customs of the society they used to live in, is that many of the slaves were Abyssinians. And they were often people as slaves who didn't have any rights. They were belittled, they were oppressed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted to make the companions aware of the importance of this matter, as-sam' wa ta'a. And he said that even if the Abyssinians, who the Arabs consider as slaves, who have no rights, and they are oppressed, and they are belittled, even if one of them was to become a ruler amongst you, then upon you is as-sam' wa-ta'a, upon you is to hear and to obey. فَبَيَّنَ اللَّهُ هَذَا بَيَانًا شَاعِعًا أَوْ شَافِعًا كَافِيًا. Allah has explained this principle very, very clearly. بِوُجُوهٍ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْبَيَانِ, in different ways, or with different explanations. شَرْعًا وَقَدْرًا, in the Sharia, and also in his decree from that which we see around his universal laws. So this principle, as-sam' wa-ta'a, listening and obeying the rulers, then this has been mentioned in the Sharia, in some ayat and many ahadith, and also the statements of the Sahaba, and then the books of the Salaf who came afterwards. And also we see the wisdom of this principle in that which is around us, as I mentioned, even in our own locality. So with regards to an evidence from the Qur'an regarding as-sam' wa ta'a, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 59, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ, obey Allah, show obedience to Allah, وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ, and obey the messenger, show obedience to the messenger, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and show obedience to the people of authority over you. So here Allah Jalla fil Ula, he mentioned showing obedience to him, then showing obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then showing obedience to the people of authority. So this is an evidence for this principle in the Sharia. And also every single ayah we find in the Quran speaking about the Muslims being united and not differing amongst each other, then this is an evidence for listening and obeying the Muslim rulers because of the relationship that I mentioned. And also in the hadith, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find many authentic ahadith regarding this principle. In reality, many, many narrations. So for example, Imam Muslim, rahimullah, in his book Sahih Muslim, he has a whole chapter dedicated to this principle. In Sahih Muslim, there is a chapter called Kitab al-Imara, the chapter of authority, in which he mentions many narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this principle or this subject. And to mention two or three ahadith, then in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that he said, Ubadah said, Bayana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ala sam' wa ta'a. We gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon a sam' wa ta'a, upon hearing and obedience. Fi man shatina wa makrahina. When, or in times of when we are affluent and good, and also in times of difficulty. وَعُسْرِنَا وَيُسْرِنَا. And again, in times of difficulty and times of ease. وَأَثْرِهِ عَلَيْنَا. And to give him, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as a ruler over them, to give him preference over us. وَأَلَّا نُنَازِعَ أَمْرَهُ وَأَلَّا نُنَازِعَ الْأَمْرَ أَهْلَا. And that we do not dispute this affair from its people. Meaning that when the people of authority have authority over us, then we don't dispute them, we don't fight them, we don't incite the people against them. Illa, except in one situation. Illa in taraw kufran bawahan, except if you see from them, from the rulers, kufran bawahan, an absolute clear manifest kufr, act of major disbelief in which there is no difference. And it's known upon certainty. عِنْدَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ بُرْهَانِ, which you have an evidence or proof from Allah regarding it. So we see that the only instance or the only exception in which we can go against a ruler who was a Muslim is if something emanates from him which is clear-cut kufr, disbelief. And there's no difference amongst the Muslims regarding whether this is disbelief or it isn't disbelief. And we're absolutely certain that this has occurred from the ruler. And then there are obviously other conditions that we look into going against him or fighting him. Is it going to bring out a greater evil? Is it going to bring out greater harm? Are more Muslim lives going to be killed? And so on and so forth. So for example, the society that we live in, we don't find anybody calling to or inciting against the rulers in this country, even though they are upon kufr and buah. Because we know that there's no benefit in doing this. We know that there's more potential harm and damage and disadvantages than doing this in terms of the strength of the Muslims or the lack of the strength of the Muslims. And also in another hadith, which is an evidence for this principle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا. If somebody sees from his amir, from his ruler, something, something he dislikes or something that he detests, فَلْيَصْبِرْ, then he should be patient. Whoever sees from his amir, from his ruler, something which he hates or detests or dislikes, فَلْيَصْبِرْ, then let him be patient. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ فَارَقَ الْجَمَاعَةَ شِبْرًا, because indeed the person who splits away from the jama'ah, from the united congregation, the main body of the Muslims, shibran, even a handspan, mata maytatil jahiliyyah, then he will die a death of ignorance. This is in Sahih Muslim. And also the hadith I mentioned, isma'u wa ati'u wa in ta'ammara alaykum abdun habashiyun. And also that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in Sahih Bukhari, عَلَى الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمِ, upon a Muslim person, السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ, to listen and to obey. فِيمَا أَحَبَّ فِيمَا أَحَبَّ وَكَرِهِ, in everything which he loves I from that ruler, and everything which he hates from that ruler. Illa, accept, and yu'mar bi ma'asiyatin, if you are ordered to do an act of disobedience, fala sam'a wala ta'a, then there is no hearing and there is no obedience. So if a ruler, and this applies to, for example, our parents, even though we have been ordered to listen to our parents and obey our parents, and send me the ruler, but if they tell us to commit an act of disobedience to Allah, then we don't listen and we don't obey them. But this doesn't mean that this takes us out of the general principle of respecting them and showing obedience to their authority. And this doesn't mean that we leave alone the allegiance that we have given them, or that we leave alone the congregation of the Muslims, or that we start inciting the Muslims against the ruler. And also, and first of all, the meaning of as-sam' and ta'a. The meaning of as-sam', as the scholars have explained, is al-qubul. The meaning of as-sam' is al-qubul, i.e. to accept. So the meaning of as-sam', when we say as-sam' wa ta'a, it means al-qubul, to accept, i.e. to accept him as your amir. And the meaning of al-ta'a is al-inqiyad, i.e. to show obedience to him, to comply to his rules, and to comply to his commandments. Because if there was no compliance to what he says and implementation of his rules, as long as, of course, he doesn't order you with disobedience, and as long as it isn't kufran buah, then there would be no point of benefit in him being the hakim. So this principle of as-sam' wa ta'a, showing obedience to the rulers, to the Muslim rulers, then this applies to the ruler who is righteous, and it also applies to the ruler who is corrupt, or the ruler who has some deficiencies or some sins or some errors in him, as long as he doesn't have kufr, bawah, major disbelief which takes him out of the fold of Islam. As long as the person, the ruler, is a Muslim, even though he may have some deficiencies and there is some level of corruption or some level of oppression, then we maintain as-sam' wa ta'a. And that is because despite his oppression and despite his corruption, it is still better than chaos amongst the Muslims, and it's still better than the blood of the Muslims being spilled, and the honor of the Muslims being taken, and Muslims fighting each other, and the countries being destroyed. And you can see this in that which is apparent around us today in the Muslim countries. That when recently, in what they call al-Rabi' al-Arabi, the Arab Spring, when they rose against their rulers, and this wasn't an Islamic revolution, it wasn't led by the scholars, it was led by the secularists, if nobody else, who were calling for social change or economic change. It didn't have anything to do with Islam. But what we did see in the Muslim countries, we saw things got worse than they were with them rulers. So we saw how thousands of Muslims were killed, how thousands of Muslims lost their properties, how thousands of Muslims lost their jobs, their children were killed, their elders were killed, the masajid were destroyed, the houses were destroyed. And this effect is going to remain for years and years to come. And this is because they looked at the political situation through their own eyes and through their emotions, rather than looking at the political situation through the eyes of the Sharia and the words of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the hadith of Hudhayfa in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, write this hadith, in the hadith of Hudhayfa in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, سَيَكُونُ بَعْدِي, there will be people after me, لَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهَدِي, they will not seek guidance through my guidance, وَلَا يَسْتَنُّونَ بِسُنَّتِي, and they will not comply to my sunnah. There will be after me, in Sahih Muslim, people, I rulers, and they will not seek guidance to my guidance, and they will not follow and implement my sunnah. قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Their hearts will be from the hearts of the shayateen. Their hearts will be from the hearts of the shayateen. فِي جِثْمَانَ الْإِنْسِ. In the body of humans. I people, they are human, but their hearts are evil like the hearts of shayateen. And these will be the rulers. And Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhu, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, فَمَاذَا فَكَيْفَ أَصْنَعُ إِنْ أَدْرَكْتُ ذَلِكَ. How should I respond if I reach this time? If I live until this time, and this situation become, I am in this situation, then how should I react? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَيْكَ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. Upon you is a sam' and a ta'a. وَإِنْ ضَرَبُوا ظَهْرَكَ. Even if they beat your backs. وَأَخَذُوا مَالَكَ. And even if they take your wealth in oppression. عَلَيْكَ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. Upon you is to hear and to obey. And as I mentioned, this same meaning, this same principle, we find this being mentioned in the statements of the great imams and the sahaba. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, إِذَا كَانَ الْإِمَامُ عَادِلًا. If the imam is just, if the imam is just, فَلَهُ الْأَجْرِ وَعَلَيْكَ الشُّكْرِ. Then for him is the reward from Allah, and for you is to show thanks and gratitude to him. If you have an imam, a leader who is over you and above you, and he has authority over you, and he is just in the things he does and says, then for him is a reward from Allah, and for you is to show shukr to him. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْإِمَامُ جَائِرًا. And as for if the imam, the ruler, is جَائِرًا, he's an oppressor. فَعَلَيْهِ الْوِزَرُ. Then upon him is the sin, i.e. the sin from Allah, the punishment from Allah. وَلَكَ الصَّبَرُ. وَعَلَيْكَ الصَّبَرُ. And upon you is to be patient. Because as Muslims, number one, before anything, we implement the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any problem that we want to try to solve, then we solve it through the eyes of the Sharia, before our own emotions or logic or the ideologies of the people. And also, as Muslims, we believe in al-qadr, in the decree. As Muslims, we believe not only in this life, we also believe in the hereafter. And we know that the ruling and the decree of Allah, all of it is goodness. And those people who do goodness in this world, for them is goodness. And those people who do oppress in this world, for them is a sin in the hereafter. And for them is a punishment in the hereafter. And for those people who are oppressed, then for them is the reward in the hereafter. So for this reason, we look at these matters that happen, the political situation that we find ourselves in, and the Muslim countries, through the eyes of the Sharia as opposed to through the opinions of people. ثُمَّ صَارَ هَذَا الْأَصْلِ. And then this principle, despite the fact that it is so known in the Qur'an, in the ahadith which are authentic, in the books of the Sunnah, in the books of the Salaf, then this principle, it became such that لَا يُعْرَفُ عِنْدَ كَثِيرًا عِنْدَ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ يَدَّعِي الْعِلْمِ. That most of the people who claim knowledge and ascribe to knowledge, they themselves, they are ignorant of this principle. فَكَيْفَ الْعَمَلُ بِهِ. So how is it that people are going to implement this? Meaning, never mind the common people who are already incited by emotions, but if the people of knowledge or those who ascribe and claim knowledge, if they are ignorant of these ahadith and these rulings and this principle, then how will it be implemented amongst the people? And this is like the previous principles that we mentioned, that even though ikhlas is so known amongst the people, even though al-ikhlas is so clear in the kitab and in the sunnah, yet shaitan came to them and he deceived the people. And even though al-ijtima', the Muslims being united, is something which is clearly explained in the Quran and the sunnah, shaitan came to the people and he deceived them, and he made them believe that disunity is knowledge and unity, this is incorrect. And similarly with this, the shaitan comes to the people and he deceives them. And we leave it at that for this lesson. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. Is there any questions? Jihad is not chaos. Jihad is not done through in a disorganized manner. Jihad is an act of worship Just as the prayer is an act of worship, just as a da'wah is an act of worship, and just as the prayer is an act of worship and it has its conditions, and there's a certain legislative way of doing it, and there's guidance within it, and there's misguidance if people don't do it the right way, similarly with jihad. Jihad has its conditions, it has its rulings, there are books of fiqh that are written about jihad, there's a sunnah, and there's a legislative way of performing jihad. So the scholars decide whether there's jihad or there's no jihad, whether there's potential benefit for the Muslims to rise against this particular ruler, or whether there's potential benefit in the Muslims staying with this ruler. Allahu
A'lam. Does that make it haram to go there? Because if the Sahaba used to go after the piety of the people, and this day and age they have the elections, is that against Islam?
There's two different things here. The first thing is democracy, and then the second thing is Muslims as individuals voting. There's two different things. Democracy and Muslims as individuals voting. Democracy is not from Islam. In a democratic country, they believe, or democracy, I think is a Latin word, where they say that democracy is the rule of the people, for the people, by the people. This is democracy in the Latin language. The rule of the people, for the people, by the people. We believe in implementing the rule of Allah for the people, by Allah and His Messenger. So even if in its very essence and its very definition, then democracy and shura or Islam, they're not compatible and they're not the same. We don't believe that the criminal and the righteous person has the same say in the running of a country. We don't believe that, for example, when you know an economist or a doctor or you know somebody who has expertise has the same vote as somebody who has absolutely no interest or no knowledge or expertise in this matter. And for this reason, you find these political campaigns, these democratic campaigns, the most money that they spend in millions, if not more, is in PR, public relations, in order to deceive and fool the people. And, you know, look, for example, even, you know, in the Western countries, you know, spend millions in their political campaigns and their public relations just to fool the people. So shura, it is the people of expertise, the senior people, ahl al-hill wal-aqd, them deciding on a particular matter. So democracy and Islam in its asal, democracy is not from Islam. It's the way of the kufr, and we don't accept it, neither is this our way. And therefore, by default, voting is not permissible, because then you're taking part in that democratic process which isn't from Islam. And that's the base ruling, and that's the default ruling. However, sometimes there comes a situation whereby even if in its origins this action isn't from Islam and we don't partake in it, but because of a particular benefit or to ward off a particular harm, we might do this action. Or we might leave alone an obligation because of a particular harm in doing it. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his time when he was in Mecca, in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, "Lawla hadith qawmika bil kufr," if it was not qawmika bil kufr, if it was not for your people being upon disbelief, "La hadamtul Kaaba," I would destroy the Kaaba, "wa alzaqtuhu bil ard," and I would level it to the earth, "wa la banaytuha ala asas Ibrahim," and then I would rebuild the Kaaba once again upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is what should be done with the Kaaba. The Kaaba should be destroyed and then built upon the original foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is much bigger than it is now. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this in hadith, and I think it's the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. However, even though he considered this as an obligation, he didn't do so. Even though it was something that was an obligation, what was the reason for not doing so? He said, because your people, they are upon disbelief. And if the Prophet does this, they will say, look at the Prophet Muhammad, this man, he's destroying the Kaaba. So because of the potential harm in doing that obligation, he left it alone and he didn't do so. And there's many, many other examples of this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't used to kill the munafiqeen. Even though they were in Medina, and he knew that they were munafiqeen, and the Muslims had strength, and nobody could prevent them, but he didn't used to kill the munafiqeen. And he used to say that the people will say, "Inna Muhammadan yaqtulu ashaba," that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kills his own companions. So because of repelling a harm, he didn't do that thing that maybe he would have done. Similarly to this is the other way. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation whereby, for example, you have a particular person, and if this person is voted in, he will bring harm to all of the Muslims. And the Muslims might have a say if they vote in him not coming in. Even if the other person is a disbeliever, but that disbeliever is less in his evil against the Muslims than this disbeliever. Because we know the disbelievers, they are of different levels. Some are more harmful than others. In our country, we know that the BNP and the far right and the racism and so forth and so forth are worse than some of the other disbelievers, even though all of them are disbelievers. وَلَا ذَنْبَ بَعْدَ الْكُفْرِ. And there's no other sin which is greater than kufr in the first place. But some of the scholars, in this specific situation, they said that here it's permitted for a person to vote. If there's a particular harm upon all of the Muslims, and you know that this harm will be repelled by the Muslims voting, even though we say that democracy and voting is kufr in itself, but the greater harm of the harm of not voting and this person coming in will be greater than the harm of us committing this action. Some of the scholars in this situation, from amongst them Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah, he permitted this. Allahu alam. So we have to differentiate between democracy and the base ruling, and it's kufr, and we don't do this, we don't accept it, and then a particular situation in a particular time for a particular benefit. Uthman?
Do you know the ayah of Quran you mentioned, Surah Nisa?
Yeah.
People of Taqlid, they mentioned this ayah, is the imams, people in authority.
Yeah.
People in authority, they are the imams. Yeah. Now, is there not, if you go with word, is there not the tahrif in the Quran that they are just changing the meaning?
Ibn Kathir, rahimullah, he mentions in the tafsir of this ayah that ulil amri minkum, the people of authority amongst you, there are two types. They are the hukam and the ulama. They are the rulers and also the scholars. The rulers and scholars, in their own particular domains, they come under ul amri minkum. So, to a certain degree, they come under this. And if you look at the wording of the ayah, Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah. O you who believe, show ta'a to Allah, show obedience to Allah. He mentioned the word ati'. And then he said, وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ, and show obedience to the messenger. And then he didn't say, وَأَطِيعُ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. He said, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. And the people of knowledge, or the people of authority amongst you. So he said, أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ. He mentioned this word, طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ, and then طَاعَةُ الرَّسُولُ. But then he didn't say, أَطِيعُ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. He just said, أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. And the scholars of tafsir, they have derived a benefit from this wording. That the fact that Allah mentioned, أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ, and he didn't say أَطِيعُ الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, he just said أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. And that is that the ta'a, the obedience to the أُولِي الْأَمْرِ, it is under the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. So if they go against the obedience of Allah and His Messenger, then they are not obeyed. So there's no evidence for taqleed in this ayah if the scholar who you are doing taqleed of, he goes against the Qur'an and Sunnah, and you know that he has gone against the Qur'an and the Sunnah. There's no evidence for a taqleed. Even though the scholars, they come under this ayah, as Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentioned.